Asylum, a refugee's paradoxical journey from Sharia Yemen to Rainbow Sweden. Back cover. Asylum is a woeful yet comical memoir by 26-year-old Loy Ahmed during his first 5 years in Sweden. Being a reformist secular ex-Muslim writer, Ahmed found himself at a crossroads when his family told him to seek asylum in Sweden in 2014 because of the death threats which his family received due to his mother's feminist activism. Little did his family know that he followed their order and fled because he was secretly homosexual. Moving from one of the world's most religious and conservative countries to one of the least religious and most liberal countries in the world, Ahmed's flee from Islam turned out to be paradoxical in the haven of tolerance that is Sweden. While Yemen was ruled by Sharia law and thereby sentenced homosexuals and atheists like himself to death, Ahmed ended up being just as critical towards Sweden, the country that saved his life from Yemen, the very theocracy that thirsted for his blood. Chapter 1. Goodbye, Yemen. Hello, Sweden. So here I am, flying from Yemen to Sweden all on my own at the age of 20. I knew very well that I was not only traveling 5,508 kilometers, but rather traveling in time. I would say around 300 to 400 years, give or take, depending on which parts you find yourself in. I had it going well for me since I wasn't riding a death boat. I was on a mission to represent the Yemeni youth's human rights defenders in a training conference held by Olof Palme Center. Initially, when I applied for the role and received the acceptance, I had no plans of staying. I couldn't leave my country and my family at that point. I had taken part of the Yemeni revolution in 2011, paused my education, and went out to demonstrate for months when many of my friends were telling me I was contributing to the destruction of my country by peaceful resilience and demonstrating with banners that say things like, "Women are equal to men." What was I to say to everyone? That I was to run away from my country? That I was to run away from the problems that many claimed I helped create? I was born and raised in Sana'a, Yemen. This is where I was born and molded. This is the place I have to build and help flourish. This is my time to try to correct the mistakes of my ancestors and try to inject a better reasoned common sense and feminism in my Yemen, which ranks at number one for the third consecutive year in the World Economic Forum's annual Worst Country for Women Index. I come from a lineage of a minority of Yemeni feminists. My mother was married off at the age of 8, yet grew up to be an immaculate feminist who filled every room she stepped into with her beauty, her hair flying out, and her handmade color-blinding Moroccan scarf wrapped around her godly shoulders, ready to take on anyone's derogatory comment with a nuanced rebuttal based on a pacifist and reason-evoking Islam. From saving children from death penalties to changing key policies and laws that made misogyny more prevalent in society by giving more power to the sheikhs and imams, her existence there, alongside many other extraordinary and astonishing feminist champions, curbed dogmatic practices in uncountable ways. It was not the UN aid workers nor foreign orientalist political experts that forced a 30% representation of women in the post-revolution Yemeni National Dialogue members in 2012. It was my mother, Amal Basha, Nabila Zubair, Wamith Shaker, Arwa Uthman, Jamila Ali Raja, Sami Al-Aghbari, and many other brilliant Yemeni feminists. My grandmother was nothing short from extraordinary either. Although she had rheumatism that didn't allow her to walk, she single-handedly took charge and took care of all 32 grandchildren when all the men in the family were dying young from heart attacks or diabetes, thanks to the overconsumption of cigarettes, meat, sugar, and white flour. Clearly, I am destined to die early as well, either due to my DNA, smoking, Sweden's care system, this book, or my inconvenient soya sauce allergy. Whatever it may be, my survival genes have long been telling me to fight and empower the women in my family and country, so that they can go on to take better care of everything, like all the beautiful women in my family have been doing for generations. I had been aware that, like my mom, because I am a loud, annoying, argumentative, and relentless pain in the ass, I wouldn't quit challenging the minds of the people.